Thanks for downloading the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. We're in the middle of February, and for listeners of this show, it is free brewery. That means if it's your first time signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/snmeradio, it is free for you. I will refund you this month. So it's supposed to be $4 a month, but that's going to be free. And it gives you access to everything that we do here on Sunday Night's Main Event. That means you get All Elite Weekly. That means you get the trivia show. You get Dr. Mouth. And you'll also get our review of the Saudi Arabia show, which we'll watch so you don't have to. It's free this month. Go over and sign right now as you're listening to patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE stock continues to drop. Cody gets strapped, and Goldberg has told us The Fiend is next. Whether we like it or not. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, coming at you across Canada on TSN Radio and all over the world, streaming at snmeradio.com. Jason Agnew back here with you for another weekly wrestling recap on the radio. And this week, not only did we have the return of Goldberg on television, but more importantly, the return of Mark Andrade to the studio.
I'm next.
You are today? Yes.
Are you excited about this Goldberg fiend?
We'll get into it here. I do still like the nostalgia of Goldberg, but is this the
Me
right
too.
Decision?
I mean, it's funny because people are like, oh, this isn't going to be good because neither of these guys can be booked this way. But couldn't you say the same thing about Hogan and Andre?
Oh, that's a bold comparison. Is that where we're headed today?
Yeah, that's where we're going to go.
All righty. Well, we'll get into that. Not only do we have Mark in studio with co-hosting, but along with that, he will compete in the second edition of the Fatal Filipino Fight Rematch, the six-pack challenge in Hour 2 versus our reigning and defending champion, Joe Aguinaldo, plus Dave Meltzer will join us to chat WWE economics, another third-round Attitude Era edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and your feedback. With all of that to come, as the mouth would say, let's get down to it. Here's this week's roundup.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Okay, so here we go. We got to kick things off once again this week talking about WWE financials. The quarterly investors call happened this week, and despite showing record revenue due to their TV deals, the stock continued to fall and currently sits at $42.53 per share. This is a stock market that, of course, got oh so close to being $100 earlier this year. Now, much of this is due to the executive shakeup that we talked about on the show last week. In a very interesting note coming out of the investors call, Chairman Vince McMahon said the company has had advanced talks with major OTT players about changes to the WWE network. That could mean a significant revenue increase for the company. OTT, by the way, means over the top. This is in reference to on-demand providers such as Netflix, Amazon, Peacock. Get ready to hear that name a lot on the show. That's coming up, and that's NBC. Now, McMahon referred to the potential deals as transformative, so speculation has abounded that this may mean a different style of distribution for WWE pay-per-views or a different model for their network completely. To me, Mark, what this means is something they should have done initially and is what UFC did, where, yes, you have the network, and maybe the B pay-per-views are there, but the big four in particular, Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, those are actual pay-per-views. But I think there's going to be massive, massive fan fallout if they expect fans to now pay for these things that they expect for their $9.99 a month.
Oh, so you think they're going to go back to pay-per-view for those? They're not just going to sell those off to NBC Universal?
Think about the way UFC works now. UFC has the deal with ESPN+. If you want a UFC pay-per-view in the United States, you have to sign up for ESPN Plus for $4.99 a month or whatever it is, plus pay $65 to get a UFC pay-per-view. That's the model that would accomplish attaining money for whatever service and also would help, not artificially, but boost that service's subscriber rates. And let's say you're launching something new, Peacock, which is owned by NBC, which owns USA, That seems logical to me.
It does seem logical. I wonder how Fox is going to take that information.
Very good point, because obviously they've got their hands in both of those pies.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also seen, and again, I know it's not WWE, but somehow, some way, the XFL has also done deals with a whole bunch of different networks as well. What will be interesting, though, that you mentioned Fox, how do you promote on Fox driving people towards an NBC subscription service on SmackDown?
Right, they won't. That's what'll happen.
Well,
they won't do it.
How? Those performers, it gets really muttered and in a really bad kind of spider web once you get out to all of this. But, you know, on-demand services are the new cable. You can say you're snipping the cord all you want, but in actuality, your money's just being allocated somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. Goldberg showed up on SmackDown this week, kind of, sort of. He appeared in a clearly pre-taped via satellite segment and challenged The Fiend. So we have a match set for Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia, Thursday, February 27th, along with Brock Lesnar versus Ricochet, New Day versus Miz and Morrison, and Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns again, but this time in a cage. Jason, that'll make this better.
Yes, it will. This, I was shocked on SmackDown. We'll talk about this in the next segment. The fact that Goldberg's brought in, but not live. He's via satellite.
Right.
What a ripoff for all of those people that went to that taping.
Yeah.
I'd be so pissed.
Yeah.
So upset.
For sure they brought that camera to Goldberg and just taped it in his living room.
Oh, it was in his garage. It was 100% in his garage. And that whole thing was pre-taped. It was such a joke. We'll get into that in the next segment. A few signings we should talk about, or maybe signing announcements, shall we say. On WWE Backstage, the company officially announced that Killer Cross and Timothy Thatcher have signed with the promotion. They did not, however, last week talk about the fact that Michelle Wilson and George Barrios have left the company. There was no mention of that on the show. Just saying, their news show opted not to report that.
Could you imagine?
Independent wrestler Aja Pereira, Aja Smith, has officially signed with WWE and joined the Performance Center as a referee. ROH has signed Australian wrestler Adam Brooks. Oh, and as far as WWE main roster, Buddy Murphy, no longer a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just Murphy. He got the Andrade Cien Almas treatment.
Wait, do you think that's better than just calling him Buddy?
Better than Buddy?
Imagine,
hey, Buddy.
Well, please welcome to the ring, Buddy.
Remember that Adam Sandler sketch from years ago?
Yep.
Hey, Buddy.
Hey. What did the other guy
hey,
say?
Hey, Buddy. Hey, Pal.
Hey, Pal.
Not good.
No.
This isn't good for him either, though I do want to see a segment now called Murphy's Law.
That would be all right.
Right?
Yeah.
Use the name to its full advantage.
In Wednesday night ratings news, AEW viewership was up 25% this week and rounded out at an average of 928,000, while NXT averaged 770,000.
Both, I think, bumped up. That's really good as far as, to me, it's really good looking at two new shows on Wednesday nights. It's getting that much attention as far as viewers go.
They're both going up.
And in particular, that's getting near close to a million for AEW, which is great. And a lot of that probably did have to do with the strapping segment, which, yes, coming up a little bit later. Now, if you missed it, which you probably did, there was an angle on AEW Dark where Mel and Dr. Luther turned against Awesome Kong. AEW then tweeted out Awesome Kong medical update. On this week's episode of AEW Dark, Kong suffered serious injuries at the hands of Mel and Luther. We did not know when she will return to action. So that loosely translates to Kong is back filming season 4 of GLOW. Dark also featured a vignette, this was so weird, where Brandy was in a psychologist's office, a psychiatrist's office, having some sort of strange visions of what the doctor was telling her to do. So I saw all of this,
mm-hmm.
and then on Wednesday night, watching the strapping segment, when Brandy ran down, made no sense. Which further goes to my theory, Brandy ruins everything.
Wow.
My new theory. Yep.
Really?
Brandy ruins everything.
Oh, I don't mind Brandy. I like Brandy.
I did.
You did.
And then all of this stuff happened.
Right. She hasn't been, her writing hasn't been handled well, for sure.
I think it's because she's doing it herself. Just saying, Mark.
Yeah, fair enough. New Japan announced that they'll be returning to Madison Square Garden in New York City on Saturday, August 22nd. The event is called Wrestle Dynasty, and it's taking place on the same day as NXT TakeOver Boston. Now, this is New Japan's first return to Madison Square Garden since they co-promoted a show with Ring of Honor last year on WrestleMania weekend. There's no talk of whether or not Cass and Enzo will be at this show.
Oh, I hope they are, though. They really made that last one. You were there live.
You know what else there's no talk of? There's no talk of Ring of Honor being a co-producer on this show.
Yeah, as of right now, it doesn't state it in the press release that ROH is paired with them. So we'll talk to Dave to see if this relationship is still in place, because if it is not, so much more speculation around the possible relationship with AEW and New Japan.
Sure, but also, that's going to be a better show.
Yeah, that was the downfall last year, was having Ring of Honor on this. A bit more with New Japan as well, because this would regularly be the time of the G1, right?
That's right. Yeah. But not this year, because the G1 tournament's been moved back due to Tokyo hosting the Summer Olympics. Mm. Instead, the G1 will take place from September 19th and close out on October 18th.
Yeah, so not a summer thing this year. So
no.
That's fine. Instead, we have New Japan over here. So far, the shows, as far as the live tour has gone, has not been doing all that well attendance-wise. But honestly, they are in such a tough spot and such a competitive environment. And I don't mean Ring of Honor. I mean AEW, to me, has really stolen away the thunder of New Japan and North America.
Sure. They also, to me, go to strange markets.
Well, secondary markets. And I think that might be done for the reason of not wanting to run the mainstream markets.
Well, I don't know if that's the right choice, because when they go to New York, they sell out.
Right.
So maybe just stick to New York and LA, and I don't know, they've got to have the intel on their New Japan World
fan
site.
Fan base.
Yeah, like where are these concentrated subscriptions coming from?
Right.
So obviously New York's a hub,
for
right?
Sure. I mean, for sure you're going to see that with any major market. There's just a population density that's higher there. The only thing is the bigger the market, the more entertainment competition that is also in that market.
Sure.
Six one half dozen of another, but I can see what you're saying about going to the weird places. WWE announced a new series for the WWE Network called
Ruthless Aggressions.
This series is to pick up from where the Monday Night War series came to a close, as is described as the following, okay? Here we go, Mark.
Okay.
Famous for giving rise to legendary WWE superstars like John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, and Batista, the Ruthless Aggression era was also a time of remarkable innovation for the WWE. The company introduced new concepts like the Elimination Chamber match and Money in the Bank ladder match, and for the first time in its history, split the roster into two unique brands, Raw and SmackDown. Wow. The first episode's going to be available on demand Sunday, February 16th at 10 a.m. Do you think, this just struck me as I'm reading this, Money in the Bank ladder match. Mm-hmm. You know who created that, right?
Oh, yeah. Chris Jericho.
Think he's going to be mentioned?
I would imagine so.
As the creator? Think they'll get an interview with him
no,
to talk about it?
Zero possibility of that. And what's the next series going to be? PG?
I guess so.
PG era.
Back to the nostalgia. Back to the kids.
Hardcore fans didn't care for this.
Our ratings went down.
Former wrestler Brian Clark Jr., who is best known as Adam Bomb in WWE and is also one half of Dan Lavransky's favorite tag team, Chronic, got into some legal issues. He's facing charges of conspiracy, illegal control of enterprise, transporting or selling narcotics, drug possession, and possession of a weapon during a drug offense. These alleged acts occurred in January and April.
And not good news for a good old Adam Bomb there. A few MMA notes to close off here on a card that had very little fanfare. John Jones barely, and maybe not, actually retained his light heavyweight title last night by defeating Dominic Reyes at last night's UFC 247 card. John Jones amazes me because it seems like he trains just enough to beat his opponent. That's it. No more. He could probably go out and dominate someone like this, but just enough to get by. However, a match that was hyped was the return of Conor McGregor, as ESPN's parent company, Disney, announced that Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone pay-per-view, that pay-per-view that happened, UFC 246, became the first event in history to hit 1 million streaming buys. So here's what we've learned in hindsight. Disney stock, 1 year ago till now, a good investment. WWE stock, 1 year ago till now, bad investment. I may have learned that personally. All right. We are going to wrap things up for the news. I wanted to play this song, though, Mark. This is very cool. So there is a new song done by a band called Bowling for Soup.
I remember them.
And they sound just like they did in 2001. They've written a whole song about Alexa Bliss. Why can't every girl be more like Alexa Bliss? We're going to play some here on the way out because it's so fun. They make reference to their own song in this song. It's a great little thing. Go check out the video as well. Here's some Bowling for Soup. We're going to take a break and talk about this week in wrestling TV when we return. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. She's only 5 foot tall, but maybe 5'2" in her wrestling boots. And I hear she can even sing. She's the champ of everything.
girl be more like Alexa Bliss?
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
Mr. Goldberg.
Dude, I ain't falling for your tricks and save your energy. Intimidation ain't gonna work on me.
Well, then take my advice.
The only thing I'm taking from you is the Universal Championship. So here's your breaking news. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, you're next!
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. That is something you may have been watching and disappointed in on Friday night. I think there's really, Mark, two camps as far as Goldberg. There's a lot of people that are just tired. I don't want to see him anymore. I'm on the other side of things. I think he is very much nostalgia for people. He's a guy that, and I can still go. And by that, I mean can still do a couple moves.
Yeah, the 30-second match that he does.
Yeah, and he looks good still.
He's
got a bit of gray in his beard, but that physique is still there.
Yeah.
And they're lining him up, though, against The Fiend here. To me, it's a no-win situation.
Now, and here's the comparison that I was making earlier, sort of jokingly about Hogan and Andre.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the same thing, right? You have the unstoppable force and the immovable object coming together, except the difference is the storytelling at WrestleMania 3 was very strong and they built it for a year, whereas this is very weak. They've built it for no time at all.
Yeah, I mean, right from the very start, as I was mentioning in the news pack, I mean, there's a certain emotional connection to Goldberg by fans because they remember him as the guy who went on the streak, and let's just erase what he did in WWE, but initially, but when he came back in WWE and there's the Lesnar thing, you know, people got really attached to that. One of the things that Goldberg does very well is when he's just Bill Goldberg.
Yes.
Let him be Bill Goldberg, and he's very good at being himself and a heightened version of himself live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not good?
Yeah. He's reading scripts.
Scripted, pre-taped, sitting in his garage. Mentioned in the news, I would be so angry if I expected to see Bill Goldberg live when I went to SmackDown and I didn't. I saw him on a video screen. Fly the guy in. If you want to have The Fiend interrupt him from the Firefly Funhouse, that's fine.
Sure.
But Bill should be there live.
Yeah. I want to see him come down and spear a bunch of people and go home. That's all I really want to see.
What if you see him go to Saudi Arabia and spear a guy who gets up 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 over and over and over? Because honestly, I think that's what they're doing here.
You think so, hey?
I do. I think that they're just, much like they did with Seth Rollins and the Stomp. Remember when he just stomped The Fiend over and over and the Stomp was killed? Well, guess what? We're about to see the end of the Goldberg spear.
You think so?
I
don't know. I think he might just win this match and that'll be it. I think he'll just win this match and that'll be it.
Who?
Goldberg.
Goldberg wins?
I think the Goldberg is going to take the title from Bray. Absolutely. I think he's going to go in, spear, jackhammer, done. That's what I think is going to happen in Saudi Arabia.
Why? I mean, I'm sure people just went, Mark, you're being crazy, you're being ridiculous. But if you think about the pattern of that match and what can come next, pardon that pun, but what would be next would be, to me, a huge draw for WrestleMania, and that is Bill Goldberg versus Roman Reigns, the Battle of the Spears.
I was about to say, spear versus spear.
I was talking last week on the show, or 2 weeks ago, after the Royal Rumble, and Edge came back. I was like, listen, Roman and Edge got tangled up at the end of that Royal Rumble, and Roman and Edge, to me, Battle of Spears, has something to it because it's also a match we haven't seen. It's a fresh match. Every week, guys, I'm going to talk about fresh matches. And Goldberg and Roman, to me, there is a bit of there's nostalgia there combined with the guy you want to push. And then, yeah, at WrestleMania, Roman goes over.
And that's the match I want to see. Spear, get up, spear, get up, spear, get up.
Those two guys. But they spear each other.
They're spearing each other back and forth and surviving each other's spears.
Yeah.
If they blow it on this Bray match, that to me would be a detriment to WrestleMania.
Okay.
If they do that spear, get up now, no.
Well, wait. Because here's the other side of this argument that I could see. If you're lining up Bray to take the spear over and over and just keep getting up to Goldberg's spear, then you put Bray versus Reigns, which I think is a disaster of a match, but is right now still the plan for WrestleMania.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Then you do have Reigns' spear defeat the Fiend and showcase that Reigns, the WWE creation spear, is better than Goldberg, the WCW creation spear, because we're still in that war from 20 years ago.
You know what's awful is that you're right. You're right. I could see that logic happening.
Yeah.
I like the other way better.
Me too. But I also look at the other way. Okay, we don't know what's going to happen as far as where WrestleMania is going to be broadcast, but let's say it's Peacock. Actually, you know what? Peacock's not launching until April 15th.
It's not till April, yeah.
So let's just say it's Amazon or whatever new provider it is. Whatever new provider it is promoting WrestleMania, if that does come to pass, is a mainstream provider. If it's, you know, so they want the mainstream audience. What on a poster is a bigger draw to a mainstream audience? Is it Reigns Fiend or is it Reigns Goldberg?
Oh, without a question, it's Reigns Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg is weekly a feature on the Goldbergs. He's the gym coach. He's great.
Neat. I did not know that.
If you haven't watched, he is, it's a very small part, but he is a recurring character.
Right.
He's excellent in the show.
Character 5, I like to call them. Character 5.
There you go. Yeah. But he's excellent. I mean, Bill, and not only that, but I mean, the nostalgia there for lapsed fans. Everyone from that era remembers Bill Goldberg because he was the bald guy with the goatee in WCW who was facing off with the bald guy with the goatee in WWF, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
If you can't get Austin, throw Goldberg in there. That's a better poster for WrestleMania this year with a new service.
Yeah, that's a more exciting match, far and away than Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns. Bray Wyatt, I don't know.
I got nothing for Bray Wyatt.
But then who do you match Bray Wyatt with up at
who
WrestleMania?
Cares? No, don't put him on the card. No,
who cares?
Don't put him on the card.
I don't know. Maybe
Hold on. I got it. He wins the Battle Royal. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Bray Wyatt wins. He climbs out of the ring. He throws Kane out and he wins.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say he could wrestle like a projected image on the mat.
Yeah.
They just projection map the mat and he wrestles his own shadow
I love it. Yeah. Great. He wrestles himself. He'll just become like, when they had the fake Undertaker? Yeah, now the fake Fiend.
Undertaker Purple versus Undertaker Bray.
There's just nothing to him. However, I will restate the plan is Fiend versus Roman Reigns. And that match, to me, just seems like a disaster for the fans watching. You've had both of those characters have been turned on by the fans numerous times. Yeah. Not once, numerous times. And now you're putting them both in the ring together?
Yeah.
Like, is the idea that, well, maybe they'll hate Bray more than they hate Reigns, so they'll cheer for Reigns.
I mean, they've done that before. Wasn't that the whole thinking behind making Brock Lesnar a heel that they have been a little too successful on?
Well, people still pop for Brock because he's made so special. But you're right. They tried to turn him heel by saying he didn't want to be there.
Yes.
But by doing that, all his appearances became very exclusive.
Yeah.
And were so rare that when it did happen, people are excited about it.
But there are some people that think that Brock genuinely doesn't want to be there.
True.
And that Brock is a bad champion because he's not around very often, which is preposterous.
Yeah.
That's such a ridiculous. You didn't see Hogan every week?
No.
You didn't see Hogan every week in the 80s?
Continuing on SmackDown, though, we'll leave that one alone for now. The dirt sheet led off this particular edition of SmackDown. I don't like the way they position John Morrison, but I will say they use the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood video that they threw in. Very well done as far as being around the Oscars.
I was about to say, just in time.
And John Morrison feels like he's out of the 70s anyway with that hair and those glasses. So well done as far as that goes. Miz is never a match. What do you think of the way that that they have brought back John Morrison? To me, it's a waste, but some people would argue there's nothing to be wasted.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, what are we wasting here? Like, what was the hope? What was the impact he was going to make? You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't mean for that.
But no, I've said that on the show before as well. I just thought that he could have been positioned because if you go away for so long, you're going to get the automatic pop when you come back.
Sure.
And if that's the case, they basically regressed in time to when he left, even further back, going with Miz and Morrison, and they've automatically positioned them as a tag team as opposed to giving him a leg up, making him an upper mid-card guy.
Right.
Do you think they take the titles away in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the best, going back to the Morrison thing first, I feel like the best they could have done with him when he came back was Intercontinental Champion, right?
For 10
minutes and then lay down to somebody else.
Put him in NXT. You could have done that as well and just, you know, made him do something very athletic. A program with John Morrison and Ricochet would be of interest to me.
Sure.
Just someone very athletic that can compete with his parkour style.
But they already have Finn down there. How many, like... I mean, like, I know Finn is not, I want to be very clear, Finn is not the same as John Morrison, but, like, how many, like, guys who were NXT or whatever coming back to be the old-timers or the more seasoned veterans or the whatever, you know?
Well, I think that in this particular case, especially when you're trying to, because we've seen now Charlotte crossover as well this week, and we'll talk about that in the next segment, but when you're trying to draw an audience to that, there's value of moving people around and value of putting more main roster stars down there, and I don't know if he's considered a star to anyone watching, but I think that he deserves better than what he's got. Because honestly, I don't even know if people remember the Dirt Sheet and Miz and Morrison that are watching now.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
Then again, would they remember John Morrison?
Exactly, yeah.
That kind of, because they surely didn't remember MVP.
Yeah.
I was more excited to see MVP at that Rumble than anyone.
I was very excited about that, and nothing really.
Maybe it's because, you know, in his time in Impact, I was also watching Impact and really enjoyed his run there with Bobby Lashley. And I thought that there was, if you look at what they've done with Bobby Lashley, which is awful.
Yeah, it's
beyond
awful. It's an embarrassment.
And even Mojo Rawley and Riddick Moss, who has been...
Goodbye.
I feel as though that is, I don't know if there's been a worse debut than Riddick Moss being paired as the sidekick of Mojo Rawley, who's trying to reinvigorate the 24/7 title and then jobbed out to Drew McIntyre in literally 3 seconds this week. And Riddick Moss is the guy at ringside who's there to protect him and hasn't protected him once.
Yeah, you're protecting a guy who's at the bottom of the card. It really couldn't get worse for Riddick Moss, I don't think.
But if you do all of those guys, my point that I'm circling around is all of those guys have athletic gimmicks, sports gimmicks, and MVP was known for that. Pull him out of the ring, let him talk.
I was about to say, he's so well-spoken.
I think so.
Every podcast I've heard him on, too, he's very well-spoken, smart guy. It's, they should just let him talk.
Just let him talk.
Give him a mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then while you're doing that, take all of your Humberto Carrillo's, Angel Garza doesn't need someone to help him talk, but like Humberto Carrillo desperately needs a mouthpiece. Let's just hire Conan while we're out there as well.
Yeah, bring Conan.
Bring Conan back as the Lucha Underground character, though. You know, that grizzled boxing trainer character that he played?
He has to. He has to. Because he looks older.
Yeah, like, I don't want to hear Olale anymore, you know?
No. None of that wouldn't fit.
No,
yeah.
But that character. Before we go, a couple things here on the SmackDown side of things. Otis and Mandy, do you enjoy this?
I love it. I love it so much.
The joy in your face
right now. It's so great. It's great. It's a fun, like, that's exactly what I want out of my lighter sort of almost
comedy.
Agree. You know, like that's great. I mean, it reminds me of George the Animal Steel and Miss Elizabeth, if Miss Elizabeth was into it.
She was not into it back then.
No. But she was kind of into it.
Okay.
Right? But you remember, because
She
was so nice, she would always feel bad when George the Animal Steel would get beat up by Macho Man, and she would sort of like, she would take the flowers.
Right.
And there was like moments where it looked like she was a little bit, she thought he was sweet.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Macho Man came along.
Okay, well, this isn't a mentally challenged character. You can't get away with a... Could you imagine? If you ever go back
George
and watch,
Animal
like...
George wasn't mentally challenged.
No, was he not? What was he?
He was an animal.
Well, he was an animal?
He had fur.
And a green tongue. He was also, of course, a high school principal somewhere in Michigan.
That's right. And the referee for roller games.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. But if you go back and you look at characters like that and characters like Eugene... Woof, now? Oh, yeah, no, doesn't can't. Work. Anyway, so Otis, not necessarily, or just a guy who doesn't know how to act around
women. Yeah, he's just a kind
women.
Of a goof. He's a
yeah.
buffoon. Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to what they're going to do. To me, it reminds me when you go back and Mark Henry went on the date with China and D'Lo Brown was the driver, the chauffeur.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what reminds me of here. But this is harmless. This is where comedy's supposed to be
yeah.
in a wrestling show.
Do you think this is going to turn into a same-sex angle?
With Mandy and what, Sonya?
Yes.
I don't know. I think Sonya is going to pull the jealousy angle. If you notice, Sonya's the one who eliminated Mandy from the Royal Rumble, right?
Because right?
Otis couldn't hold them both.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to end in a feud between those two. I think that's pretty clear.
Right.
I mean, the spot at the Royal Rumble where Otis caught Mandy out of nowhere was brilliant.
Yes,
that was
great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So this is a fun little comedy angle here. Listen, you know, you have your main stuff, which should be serious, and I would much rather watch recurring vignettes of this than I would see the dirt sheet with Miz and Morrison.
Yes, I agree. To be fair, I'd watch Otis paint a fence.
Otis has
He's
a certain
so
charisma.
Great. Yeah.
I'd rather watch this women's angle than I would the Bayley title, actually, because if you can talk, I don't know if there's a more useless champion right now.
Ouch.
Then she's useless.
Well,
she's
yeah.
she is. Maybe it's not just her.
It's not her. It's the writing. It's the, you know what I mean?
It's a variety of different things.
Yeah.
The heel turn of the character, aside from just destroying the Bayley buddies, which was brilliant.
yeah.
Since then, there's been no focus on her because there's been such a focus on Becky and such a focus on Shayna, and she pales in comparison. And along with that, her competitors aren't great. I mean, Carmella won a four-way this week, which was surprising because I guess that means Carmella's going to get the next challenge, and then Naomi is your WrestleMania opponent. Is there even a spot for Bayley and Naomi on WrestleMania?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I like Naomi. I like Naomi a lot, and I thought she looked great at the Rumble.
Yeah, I just don't. Naomi's already had the deal where she's won the championship once at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That happened, I think it was the last time they were in Florida, because yeah. that's like home state for her.
Do it again, baby.
Is that what they're going to do?
I don't know.
Do we care?
I do. I love don't. Naomi.
Do
I
you?
Like Naomi.
Not
I'm a big
on,
Naomi fan.
Nope, I'm not. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the other side of things and the women's division on the other side of things. I'd say Raw, but it's branched over to NXT as well.
Right.
Very interesting angle that has come about. We will do that next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, if you want more, you want all of our bonus shows, it's free brewery for the month of February. Go over to patreon.com/SNMEradio and sign up for the $4 a month. I will refund you. It's free brewery. I said it. That means it's a thing.
So here's the thing. I've held the Raw Women's Championship multiple times. And I've beaten Becky. I've held the SmackDown Women's Championship multiple times, and I've beaten Bayley. I have actually held all... Yes, 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 yes. The Queen has love for NXT. And NXT has love for their queen. She's watching wrestling, creaming over tough guys,
listening to rap metal, turntables in her eyes. Like welcome back. Sunday Night's Main Event is what you are listening to. And what you heard right there is Charlotte Flair act like she's never done a promo before and didn't know how to deal with fans chanting. To me, by calling out NXT in the middle of this promo, absolutely, 100% ruined the entire objective and surprise of Rhea Ripley showing up. I sat there in complete disbelief, Mark,
yeah.
of
yep.
Charlotte botched. She botched her own angle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody, I mean, maybe she was just having an off day. That was my take on it. I was like, Woo. Oh, you're having an off day, hey? Maybe she's sick. Yeah. I don't
you
know.
You gotta ignore, like...
No, I agree.
It was a faint cheer. Sure, some people know that Rhea is going to... Clearly, that news spread that was broke. Meltzer broke that news that Charlotte and Rhea are the ones. It's an interesting angle. I think it's very an interesting setup towards it. But Why do you break and say, oh, the champ's got love for NXT as well? And you put that in their mind already. They're chanting Rhea Ripley. Why is she there?
Why? I've got a better one. Why is she there in the middle of a snowstorm where all they did was brag about the fact that it was very difficult to get here and against all odds, we're putting on a show for our great fans. So she wasn't just happened. She didn't just happen to be at the building. She had to overcome these snow odds to be there. It just made it even more kind of ludicrous that she was there.
Why was she wearing contacts?
Hey, it's to intimidate Charlotte. What are you talking about?
It's contacts when Rey Mysterio does a costume that thematically can call for the contacts or they look cool. I'm fine with that.
Well, he usually does. Doesn't he always have the white ones?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But for no reason, this to me reminded me of when Sean Spears wore the contacts. I think it was for his match versus Cody. And it's like, there's no reason. You're just wearing contacts. There's no reason. I don't know if she had them on NXT this week, but anyway, it's just a bit of a sidebar.
It doesn't bother me. She's just changing her look up.
I didn't care for it. I didn't care for a lot of this. I was looking forward to this match, but this has become so cluttered to me because Rhea shows up on Raw. They don't necessarily establish the fact that these two are going to wrestle at WrestleMania or maybe the night before. That's another whole question.
Right.
And then Rhea teases that Charlotte hasn't beat her. No one smartens the fans up to what she meant. I had to go research. This did happen. Rhea did beat Charlotte in a triple threat with Sasha on SmackDown on November 22nd on a lead into Survivor Series.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I had to go look that up. Because Rhea did say, you haven't beat me, and there actually was. That did happen. Rhea pinned Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why this was all brought up, and it makes great sense.
Sure. Then show the clip.
Show the clip! If she's there and made it through a snowstorm and put in her contacts, then you know what? Maybe she should have talked to the video department as well to have that clip ready.
Or you know what? She should have brought it. She should have brought it on a USB key.
Great. Great. All of those things.
Hand it to Michael Cole.
Then you move over to NXT. Charlotte appears. She tries to confront Bianca Belair because we need to slide Bianca into this. But the problem here is that they're doing this angle while Rhea is still intertwined in an angle, with Bianca for the Sunday night pay-per-view that's coming up next week, NXT Portland. So now Charlotte's in the mix with both of these two.
Yeah.
And also, Charlotte decided to wear heels and looks a whole head taller than both of them on NXT. Why are they ruining an angle that started so well?
And Rhea's tall, too,
yeah,
right?
They're the same height. I think they're very close to being the same height, which is rare for someone to be at Charlotte's height.
Right. But that's Charlotte. Charlotte did that. She knew what she was doing.
She's Stephanie McMahon.
She was playing the game.
That's what Stephanie McMahon always does. She goes in wearing heels, stand beside Alexa Bliss, or who's like 5 feet tall and in flats.
Yep. I'm sure she did it on purpose. And isn't this whole thing with Bianca Belair and this confusion, isn't this classic WWE? Isn't this exactly what they do? Where they're like, oh, this one's a gimme. This is going to be a great angle. We can set it up. Everything's going to be great. And we're purposely going to bungle this up somehow.
Well, that seems...
Maybe not purposely, but you know what I mean.
That seems to be the way... I think it was just a matter of, oh, Charlotte has nothing to do. We need to promote her next feud. And they jumped into this. Instead, if you look at the other side of things, they've regressed with the Becky thing, where Becky, once again, is going to be challenging Asuka. And where's Shayna Baszler? They're keeping Shayna Baszler off TV. So if that's a fact, then why didn't you keep Charlotte off for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Fill your time with other people and wait till Rhea's done defending her title against Bianca. And then Charlotte either calls Rhea out on Raw the next day, or Charlotte says there is no challenger, and then Rhea calls her out on NXT.
Sure.
Then they get into it, and they go back and forth on the two shows. Maybe they don't even appear, but they're in the places where they're supposed to be and not the places where they shouldn't be.
Right. I mean, I know. In this day of social media, first of all, going back to the Charlotte thing, couldn't you have just built her, couldn't she have just been on TV talking about how it's her pick now?
Yeah.
She's got this. She's got this briefcase. She can do whatever she wants. It's whoever she wants to pick. And exactly what you said, wait until this Bianca Belair angle is over. and then just surprise everybody on NXT and just do a social media blast in the middle of NXT to get everybody to tune out of AEW.
Right.
We're living in the future. You could do something mid-show where you blast Twitter and blast Instagram and whatever your social media platform is and get everybody, because everybody's on their phones while they're watching these shows.
They are.
So just pull everybody over that way.
They have done that before. I mean, I think if they have 2 million people watching Raw, you should promote it. Sure. And they could have done that. They have gone and done your way before. But with this one, they promoted Charlotte, and they just promoted Charlotte too early to get into the mix of this. Now it's very confusing.
It's confusing. But that's what they do. They confuse. They are confused.
As far as Becky goes, so Asuka beats Natty, calls out Becky again, and they're doing a rematch. At least they've kept Shayna away. I'll give them that for this angle.
Yeah.
What I didn't understand, why was Becky cosplaying as Diesel?
Because of the glasses?
Yeah, the glasses and all black.
Right.
It just... Well, now
they've been slowly giving her this bad girl image for a while, right? Like the leather jacket at a... You know what I mean? Like it's been happening.
I liked Becky Balboa. You know what I mean? Like she'll take on all comers. I like that character. They made the mistake in the Asuka feud of her being sheepish it was bad.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
So they're away from that now.
Yeah.
Good. But now they've decided to allow the person who used to write Ricochet's promos to write Becky's promos. I don't mean this seriously, but all I'm making reference to is the fact she kept mentioning superpowers on Monday night in her promo.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how she has superpowers and eyes in the back of her head. It's just not, it's not what someone would say.
Yeah.
It's just not it doesn't seem like a real person.
Yeah.
It's all scripted.
Do you remember that? There was this one thing that happened where they talked about Humpty Dumpty. This is like several months ago. Do you remember this?
Who?
And they got, I think it was Vince himself, was talking about Humpty Dumpty, and he confused the story of like Jack and the Beanstalk
and
Humpty Dumpty and something else entirely.
It wasn't David and Goliath and Jack and the Beanstalk he confused.
It was a very confused, like,
weird.
What is this?
Yes.
That's what it feels like all the time. It feels like, oh yeah, we've been talking about superheroes. Yeah, Becky should talk about superheroes and this other thing and this other thing.
Well, it's when the script writers get involved and they take me away from, I know they're characters, but they're... The best characters are extensions of oneself.
Sure.
And I thought Becky had it with the take on all comers, and there's no need to change that. And they've now changed it twice over. And even look at something like Aleister Black. He comes out, he cuts a promo this week. So they've changed what Aleister Black is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's tired of sitting in the room.
Yeah.
Good. Right?
Good.
Now he's in the ring, decided to have a match with Eric Young. It is what it is.
Unbelievable.
Why is it unbelievable?
Eric Young, what? What
he
happened?
He was there.
What happened, bro?
But instead of just saying he's now taking control of his future.
Yeah.
And he's going to call people out as opposed to waiting for them to call him out. That's I just gave you the promo.
Yes.
That's all he needed to say.
Sure.
But instead, his parents told him he could be whatever he wanted to be, and the black mask will cast a shadow on the WWE universe. That is what he said in the ring.
Yeah.
I knew what he meant.
Sure.
But it took me out of it because it's not real.
There's some weird agenda going on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we can blame the writers for this. I really don't. I think that there is one writer who we blame for
this. Well, the writers who put this together are writing for Vince McMahon, so scripts get approved.
And I think these are all his ideas, frankly. I think the superhero thing, I think that parents telling you can be whatever you want to be is a jab somehow. I feel like I feel like all of this is coming from Vince McMahon. It's got to be. It's got to be.
Yeah.
So we can't blame the writers for this.
Well, I know we can't, but I blame the whole...
I'm just, my whole agenda is sticking up for the writers.
Okay. Well, the whole idea of what is happening on WWE TV with these characters speaking as characters. Or, not speaking at all. What did you think of Randy Orton killing 15 minutes off the top of the show this week?
I liked it.
Did you?
I liked it.
Are you in favor of, because we haven't heard from you for a few weeks, obviously Edge comes back, mm-hmm. and he is into a program with Randy Orton, and you're going back to the past for this. Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a little quick. I think that maybe I would have liked a little bit of Rated RKO together again.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like there would have been money there as them for them as tag champs or something, or, you know what I mean? Like, they could have tagged a little bit before they just went straight to this. But they went straight to it, and that's fine. I think it's fine.
Think about if they tag, though. If they tag, who are they facing? The right. Viking Raiders?
Well, fair enough.
Right now, it's Seth and Murphy. Got rid of Buddy.
Yeah.
Seth and Murphy are your tag team champions.
Yeah.
AOP,
you're
it
right.
doesn't bode well to have them as a tag team.
You're right. There is the problem there is are the opponents, for sure.
Yeah.
So go straight to it. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with that. I think it'll be great. I think those guys will put on a great match. I think they're both really smart. They're mm-hmm. both incredible performers.
Yep.
I think Orton will take care of Edge. I think, you know, in terms of his health and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great.
And ultimately, Edge wins and then goes away for a while and comes back. Goes away for a while and comes back.
Yeah,
I
sure.
think that's the plan for
and
Edge.
And start building him up as sort of a special attraction kind of thing.
I think that's the right thing to do with Edge, you know, in order to not put that much strain on his neck only to come back here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked great.
Oh, man, he looked amazing.
Orton pointed it out. His abs were, I mean, like, the guy lives in great shape.
46 and
could
looking like that?
I've
can't imagine
like
being
that.
26 and looking
yeah,
like that.
I've never looked that good.
Me neither. But that's why we're sitting here in chairs in a radio studio and there in the ring.
I'm sucking in my stomach right now.
A break we shall take. When we come back, it is time to chat AEW and the strapping. That's what we shall do next. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
I ain't as good as I once was. But I'm as good once as I ever was.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lebranski.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f***s, tough guy.
Oh, God, Lord Almighty.
Oh, my God.
He's bleeding now, I believe.
That's a massive 275-pound man with everything he had.
He wound up and stepped into it.
Good Lord, I feel like I'm dying.
Classic wrestling angle. The strapping mm-hmm. of Cody Rhodes. How much did you cringe?
A bit. I mean, it looks painful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are talking about, oh, he sold it so well.
Sold it? That hurts.
Somebody, you take a one of those to the back.
Never mind.
Are you kidding
me? I mean, he took 10.
Yeah.
Lots of drama here. But it does also a push toward my theory of Brandy ruins everything.
It's not so bad.
Dude, I did not care for... everything was great, and then Brandy came down, and this was the perfect time for her to come down
mm-hmm.
if I hadn't watched her in the Nightmare Collective for months.
Right, but didn't we erase all that? Hasn't she turned around? Yeah, I think she erased all that.
The majority of people don't watch Dark, so haven't seen the erasing of the Nightmare Collective, and no reason for her to have done that or to have come back to the light side.
But we've seen it, so we know.
Okay. anyhow, so aside, removing Brandy from that, I mean, this is an incredible, this is a great segment. This was something that you definitely bought into. His selling, quote unquote, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Cody's acting was good here. Everyone was good around it. Along with that, ultimately, it leads you to one heck of a match that mm-hmm. is coming up, but there's still steps between because you still got the cage match coming up in a couple of weeks versus Wardlow.
Yeah.
So I would guess next week, no Cody. This is how I would do it. Next week, no Cody.
Makes sense.
2 weeks from now, Wardlow Cody. He's got to overcome Wardlow, but be really, really beat up.
Yep.
Week after that, Cody promo. But considering the whipping, considering the cage match, Cody has every reason to lose the first match with MJF on the pay-per-view.
You're right. He does. That makes the most sense.
It would because he's been so badly beaten already.
Yep.
So do you do that? Or because fans are going to want him to win. They're going to want him to get revenge.
Or does he overcome, right? Like, is that the story? Is the story that after all of this, he still manages to fight his way out?
Then it's only one match. Granted, I am thinking in the world of monthly pay-per-views where this isn't. I mean, this is 3 months away if they go do another pay-per-view, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's, maybe you don't want to hold it over that match. Maybe it is just the one pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're not playing by the same rules as
WWE. That's true. That's true. I think that is, you know, we kind of got to get out of our WWE booking heads as we watch AEW, because it does kind of run on a different clock.
Yeah. They don't need to make things too long, and they don't need to drag their feet on stuff.
Darby Allin with a flamethrower was one of my highlights of the week. So Darby Allin, there is also psychology in the storyline here as well, because if you remember back to last week, Darby Allin had his own skateboard pushed into his throat, so he doesn't say anything in this promo, and you just see him pull out a blowtorch and burn this stand-up, which you had seen that stand-up when Chris Jericho did his Le Champion celebration.
Yes.
That stand-up was in there, and now he burns this thing. I just thought this was, what was it? 30 seconds, a minute, and it was excellent.
Yeah, it was great. And also, I want to see if that boosts sales for those stand-ups. Are they selling those things?
I don't know if they're selling them.
You got to sell those things. You got to sell those things in a pack of matches. That's a kit. That's a kit to sell.
That's a recipe for disaster. Do you like Hangman? Did you like Hangman Page at the start of AEW when there was a lot of hype put around him?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah, I didn't. And I mean, I want to be clear. I like Hangman Page.
Okay.
But yeah, there was something missing. There was something missing. He wasn't quite. He just didn't feel very special. He was just a guy.
Right.
He was part of the elite, and he was kind of the most forgettable part of the elite. And I say that with a heavy heart. I don't. You know what I mean? But this thing is great. I love this a lot.
There is obviously a history of beer drinking wrestlers being very popular.
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about James Storm.
Ouch, jeez.
The shot, the ever so simple shot of, I forget, it was one of the Young Bucks who took away the glass and saying, this was your problem. And then from under the camera, someone was just there to hand him a pitcher.
Yeah.
And he starts drinking from the pitcher. He is a modern day wrestling hero.
Yes.
To all of the fans out there right now.
Yeah.
In the simplest, just this proves how simple things can be so great. But now, what the hell do you do with Hangman Page? Because he is clearly the babyface.
Yeah. Do you think that was not the intention? Do you think the intention was for him to be a heel like this?
I actually thought that they were pushing him towards being the heel to the guy who's drunk and lets down his friends.
Right.
That's where I thought they were going. But his love of beer has put him over as such a huge babyface. I'm not quite sure what they're going to do here. And I love the fact that I'm not quite sure of what they're going to do here.
Isn't that refreshing? Isn't that
so
nice? Yeah. I don't know. Is it possible that he goes, it's against Mox? A Moxley feud?
Well, the thing is, right now you have the titles on these guys, right? You have the titles on Omega and Hangman right now. Odds are they're going to end up versus the Young Bucks. They're doing this pay-per-view. Sorry, not this pay-per-view. They're doing this Battle Royal in 2 weeks. By the way, can we just mention the AEW booking? The AEW booking that on this week's show, they promoted next week, Nyla Rose versus Riho, Eye for an Eye, Santana versus Moxley, SCU versus Omega and Page. 2 weeks from now, Tag Team Battle Royal for a title shot at the Revolution pay-per-view, Wardlow versus Cody in a steel cage. 3 weeks from now, Iron Man match, that's a 30-minute Iron Man match featuring Pac versus Omega. I know what's happening for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blows my mind.
It's so great. It's just great.
Blows my mind. In all things to legitimately look forward to, maybe I'm not that into the Pac versus Omega match because I'm more invested right now to see Omega and Paige and where they're headed.
Right,
I don't know if that
team
factors in there.
Right.
But I'm curious whether what happens at Revolution is, I'm assuming that the match for Revolution will be the Young Bucks versus Pac and Omega.
Pac and Omega?
Sorry.
Page and Omega.
Yeah, Page and Omega. That's what I meant. Yeah. So I think that's your match there. And then what do you do? That should be the breaking point. And I think he has to feud with Omega.
Sure.
First.
Yes.
But they're both beloved to the fan base now.
So maybe you don't.
Oh, I think you need to, though. They've created this.
Yeah, you do.
But, I mean, that's the thing. That maybe that's the nice thing, too, about AEW, that, like, it doesn't have to be...
I don't know.
Well, there's all shades of gray here. I just think that in particular, fans are gravitating towards this Paige character. So if that's the case, then you have to take advantage for that. Omega still, to me, is a bit of a cold character at the moment because he's become, shocking as it is, because when the tag team started, I think Paige was Omega's sidekick.
Right.
And now it just looks the exact opposite, where the focus of this whole program is around getting Hangman Paige over. It's like they recognized that there was something missing in one of their key corners of their organization who they had considered putting the title on.
Yeah.
Made the right decision not.
Absolutely.
And now they're fixing the problem.
Yeah, I think so.
It's crazy. I would like for you, Mark, because I haven't talked to you all that much about this, to please give me your Moxley report. Has he Dean Ambrosed this situation? And by that I mean, has he Dean Ambrosed the Jon Moxley character?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
The beauty of Jon Moxley is that he's always on the verge of Dean Ambrosing something. There's always just like, you're like, oh my gosh, is this going to be that goofy stuff that, is this going to turn into that?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't. He walks this razor's edge. He's walking right on the line of it being idiotic. And then he makes it an idiotic that's acceptable.
So the keys punching to the eye, using the keys of the expensive car to the eye, that is the line right there.
Right. But I think he's still on the safe side of it.
Okay.
I think that he's still Jon Moxley. I don't think he's Dean Ambrose this yet. And I think that's the beauty of the Mox.
The beauty of the Mox.
Yeah.
Jericho's promo was fantastic, saying, how dare someone try to take out an eye with a spike?
Yeah.
That was really great.
Was it too much for you? Did you not like that?
No, I think this program is going according to plan.
Yeah.
Do you think that Moxie's the right guy to take the title off Jericho?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Yep, not a chance.
I think it's just got to be Omega.
It does.
Frankly.
And
with Jim Cornette in his, like, as his manager.
I guess we won't mention that when we get into the Meltzer segment next.
No.
I think we'll just leave those two alone. So many people have, and there's a whole thread on the board about, Jim Cornette and Meltzer going back and forth about Mox. About Omega. I just don't care. Jim Cornette, he had his place in NWA. I think it's kind of unfortunate that he's gone, but I have no time for it at all.
And you know what? I really enjoy Wade Barrett,
Stu Bennett.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm really enjoying him as commentator now.
Do you enjoy the new NWA theme?
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
I hated it.
You didn't like it?
Oh, no. I want the old time Into the Fire theme. I hate this new thing. I think that it makes it so generic. It doesn't, the old theme fit the feel of what NWA is and how it looks. And this new one makes it feel just like NXT or NXT UK with this very metal type tune.
Well, how long did that first one last? So maybe in a few months we'll get a new one again.
But I want like Pat Benatar.
You know what? Billy Joan Corgan Jett probably has Pat Benatar's number.
I'm honestly surprised that it's just not Bullet with Butterfly Wings. That's the despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat. Like, I'm surprised that's not the theme. I'm glad it's not, don't get me wrong, but I just figured, like, well, Corgan will just use his own music.
Or why not use 1979?
Because that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. As we mentioned, Dave Meltzer is in the next segment. We're not going to mention Jim Cornette because that's just ridiculous. But we will talk to him about all that went on this week. Boardroom stuff. A lot of WWE financials. The stock is still dropping. We'll do that next. Stick with us a whole another hour of Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the first hour of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, if you like what you just heard and you want the second hour, which includes Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, and fan feedback, well, it can be yours commercial free, so you don't have to hear me talk about it, and it's going to be free. For this month, all you got to do is sign up for our Patreon. The Buck a Show level is going to be free for first timers this month at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Sign up for it and I will click refund on your charge and you will get it for free for 1 month. February is free brewery. I'm starting to like it now. patreon.com/SNMEradio.